He signs the contract without a second thought. A non-disclosure agreement, crisp and final, promising secrecy in exchange for access. A clandestine liaison with a woman his company buzzes about in hushed rumors. She is elusive, stunning, and demands nothing but his silence. He's Luke Everett, VP in the firm's corporate development office, accustomed to deals in discretion. She calls him after hours, an encrypted message to meet. Their chemistry ignites instantly. But then, the crash. A photo leaked to a private investigator, a powerful female executive, married to his boss, the CEO. Only now does he realize he has been bait, trapped in an elaborate corporate honey trap. The stakes are sky high, his career, his reputation, and his freedom on the line. And in boardrooms, deals are not the only things made in secret. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Luke Everett was the kind of man who signed contracts for a living. But this one felt different. It wasn't printed on the company letterhead. The paper was thick, the kind used for wedding invitations or funeral notices. No company title. Just four letters printed bold at the top, NDA. He didn't ask questions. The woman across from him, dressed in jet black silk and heels that could have cracked marble, watched him sign it with quiet satisfaction. Her name, she'd said, was Sienna. No last name, no title. Just Sienna. Luke set the pen down. You said this was about discretion. She smiled. It's about freedom. Now that you've signed, we can be honest with each other. It was nearly midnight in the penthouse suite of the Carlton Meridian, the kind of hotel where even the bellboys wore cufflinks. Luke had met her at a corporate mixer 3 weeks earlier. She hadn't given him her card. She didn't need to. She was the room. He remembered the moment. Red dress, green eyes, a smile like a blade. And now, here he was, sitting across from her, bound by an agreement that promised pleasure, secrecy, and danger, if broken. What happens if I talk? Luke asked, almost teasing. She leaned in. You won't. And then she kissed him. Not like a first. Back of the photo. One line. Let's talk. Alone. Luke stepped out of the shadows. Surprised? He said. Halden turned, slow and unreadable. You've made a mistake. No. Luke said. You did. You made me desperate. Halden smiled. That's exactly what we needed. Luke narrowed his eyes. What are you talking about? I told you, Halden said calmly. Everyone has a breaking point. Yours just took longer to find. Then Halden pulled a phone from his pocket, hit a single button. The door opened. Two security agents stepped in. Halden looked at Luke one last time. You should have taken the money. Luke was gone before the security guards reached him. He had learned one thing from years in corporate strategy. Never enter a negotiation without an exit plan. The key card he'd planted in the stairwell 2 hours earlier gave him access to the emergency exit on the 45th floor. No alarms, no cameras. Just an old service hallway used during renovations. He disappeared into the city. Halden had underestimated him, but Luke wasn't sure he could keep this up much longer. The lawyer. He reached out to an old friend from law school, Mira Goss, now a whistleblower defense attorney in D.C. Brilliant, ruthless, expensive. He called from a public phone outside a grocery store in Queens. I need help, he said. There was silence. Then, what kind of help? The kind where billion-dollar corporations erase people. They met in her private office 2 nights later. Mira wore a black blazer and no patience. Tell me everything. Luke laid it all out. Sienna, the NDA, the surveillance, the seduction, the setup. Mira sat back, arms crossed. Do you still have the original NDA? No, they took it. Then it never existed. Luke blinked. What? She leaned forward. Legally, without the physical document or digital record, it's unenforceable. NDAs require signatures and proof of agreement. If they erased it, they just nuked their own weapon. Luke's mind reeled. So, why are they still threatening me? Mira shrugged. Because perception is power. They don't need it to be real. They just need you to believe it's real. The search for the original. There had to be a copy. Somewhere. He retraced everything. The first night. The hotel. The suite. The table. The pen. He remembered the pen. It wasn't his. It had the hotel's logo on it. Carlton Meridian, room 2302. He returned that night. Paid cash. Checked in under a fake name. Then found the cleaning manager who had been on shift that week. Slipped her $500. She looked nervous. Room 2302 was booked under a corporate package. They used different service. What company? He asked. She hesitated. Halden Strategic Group. His blood turned cold. They'd signed the NDA using his own company's shell subsidiary. Sienna's message. Later that night, he returned to his apartment. The place was still torn apart from the earlier search. But this time, something was different. A red envelope had been slid under the door. Inside, a single Polaroid. Sienna, no makeup, no smile, sitting on a mattress in an unfamiliar room. A handwritten message below, I'm not free either. S. Luke sat on the floor, staring at the photo until sunrise. For the first time, he realized, Sienna wasn't the architect of this nightmare. She might have been the first victim. A hidden file back at the cabin upstate, Luke reopened the encrypted hard drive Jillian had given him. He combed through metadata, video files, audio logs, then a folder named Emily 4X. Inside, a different name, a different woman, same format, same voice, same contract. He opened the video. It was Sienna, 10 years younger, blonde, nervous, signing an NDA. The voice off camera was Halden. We're going to take care of you, Emily, he said. All you need to do is follow the rules. Sienna, Emily, nodded. Luke's hands shook. This wasn't a one-time trap. It was a program. The real game. He called Mira. Do NDAs signed under a false identity hold up in court? No, she said flatly. Not if coercion can be proven. And if the person using the alias was part of a pattern? Then we have something bigger. RICO level. Corporate racketeering. If you can connect the dots. I can. The deal. Luke knew the next move wasn't legal. It was strategic. He called Jillian. I need you to leak something. What? Proof that Halden's entire NDA program is built on aliases and coercion. That Sienna, real name Emily Carrington, was the first. That I was the most recent. Jillian hesitated. You sure you want to go nuclear? Luke looked out over the Hudson River. I don't want revenge. Then what? I want the truth on record, before they erase me too. The story broke on a Tuesday. A 3-paragraph article buried on page 9 of a mid-level tech blog. Title, Anonymous Sources Allege Secretive Exit Program at Miramaxion Subsidiary. The language was careful. Terms like allegedly could not confirm, and sources close to the matter padded every paragraph. But the leak was out, and it was enough. By Thursday, 3 more outlets picked it up. By Friday, The Atlantic requested an interview. By Sunday, Reuters ran a headline that would ignite a storm. NDA sex trap at Fortune 500 firm. Internal whistleblower alleges decade-long blackmail network. Luke didn't speak to the press. He didn't have to. The story had legs now. Halden's public denial. A press conference was called. Halden stood behind a marble podium in the Miramaxian atrium, flanked by legal counsel and PR heads. He looked poised, calm, powerful. "These allegations are baseless," he said, "and appear to be part of a targeted smear campaign by a disgruntled former employee with a documented history of unstable behavior." He smiled. "We take these matters seriously and are conducting an internal audit to confirm our company's commitment to integrity." Luke watched from a bar two blocks away. The bartender turned up the volume. "That him?" the bartender asked. Luke didn't answer. Sienna unmasked. The next wave came hard. Someone, maybe Jillian, maybe Mira, maybe an anonymous data dump, leaked the name Emily Carrington. Headlines followed fast. "Who is Emily Carrington? The woman behind the NDA scandal?" Former actress or corporate pawn? Mira Maxian's silent seductress inside the mind of Emily Carrington. Paparazzi photos surfaced. One showed her being escorted from a private townhouse, head down, hair hiding her face. Luke stared at the image. She looked like a ghost of herself. Not dangerous, not seductive, just trapped. He knew then what he had to do. The final meeting, he arranged it through Mira. Neutral location, no cameras, no recordings. Just three people. Luke, Sienna, and Mira. They met in the back room of an abandoned library in upstate New York. Sienna sat quietly, staring at the dust floating in the sunbeams. Luke broke the silence. "Why didn't you run?" She smiled faintly. "You don't run from people who built you. You're not property." "I was," she said softly. "Until now." Mira placed a document on the table. "This is a legal declaration. If you sign it, you're naming Halden as the architect of the blackmail scheme. It will blow the case wide open." Sienna stared at the paper. "I'm not sure who I am without him," she whispered. Luke leaned forward. "That's exactly why you need to sign it." She picked up the pen and signed. The arrest. The FBI moved fast. By Monday morning, federal agents stormed Miramaxion's headquarters. Computers seized, offices locked down, employees questioned. The story hit the New York Times front page by noon. CEO Richard Halden arrested in executive seduction and extortion scandal. A photo showed him being let out in cuffs, expression cold, silent. Luke exhaled. It was over. Or so he thought. The retaliation, two nights later, Jillian's car exploded outside her townhouse. No fatalities. She wasn't in it. But the message was clear. Halden may have been arrested, but the system wasn't gone. The machinery he'd built still had loyal parts. Luke sat in his dark apartment, watching the footage on repeat. And then he heard the knock. Three soft taps. He opened the door to find an envelope taped to the outside. No return address. Inside, a photo of Sienna. Taken that day, smiling, in a cafe. Holding a newspaper with the headline, "Halden Faces Federal Charges." On the back, written in block letters, "Told you she was dangerous." He hadn't slept in 3 days. Not really. Just short bursts of shallow rest. Every time he closed his eyes, the image returned. Sienna, smiling in the cafe, holding a newspaper that proved she was alive. Free, watching, or performing. Luke couldn't tell anymore. The envelope hadn't been a threat. It had been a reminder that she was still part of the game, and maybe, just maybe, she'd never left it. The final meeting. He arranged to see her one last time. Same cafe, same table. Two black coffees, untouched. Sienna arrived in gray, hair tied back, no makeup, no security. Are you happy now? She asked, voice calm. Was any of it real? Luke asked. Sienna looked at him for a long time. Then she said, Not at first. Silence. But later, when you looked at me like I was more than a tool, that's when it became real. And that's why I had to let them take you down. Luke clenched his jaw. Because I saw you as a person? Because I started seeing myself that way too. The offer aisle, she slid a folder across the table. What's this? He asked. Your clean slate. Inside, a new name, a new passport, offshore account, $500,000 in crypto, one-way flight to a non-extradition country. You can disappear, she said. No trial, no questions. You walk. They erase you completely. And if I say no? They'll try again. Different face, different name. Someone else will knock on your door 6 months from now, and next time, you might sign more than a contract. Luke stared at her. You think I'm afraid of them? I think you're tired, she said softly. And they count on that. The real exit. That night, Luke sat in his apartment, surrounded by shadows and silence. He burned the new passport, watched the flame eat through the lie. Then, he walked to the last drive, hidden under the floorboards of the cabin, and uploaded everything. The footage, the names, the contracts, the money trail. He sent it to every major outlet, legal firm, and whistleblower agency on the map. Then, he waited. 6 months later, Luke Everett no longer existed, not in the legal system, not in company records, not in credit databases. But the name lived in headlines, in documentaries, in lawsuits that were still tearing through Wall Street like wildfire. The NDA trap became a national scandal, a Senate hearing, a streaming special. And in one quiet country, far from everything, a man watched it all from a modest room with a broken TV and a password-protected laptop. He wore no watch, no suit, just a clean shirt and the quiet ache of a man who had survived something no one else saw coming. Final voice message. On his last burner phone, one final message played. Sienna's voice. You were right not to trust me, but you were wrong to think I didn't care. You saved me, Luke. I just never knew how to save you back. Then, silence. Then, delete, date. Not like a woman testing the waters. It was the kind of kiss that told him he'd already been chosen, that he wasn't leading anything here. He was being led. 12 hours earlier, Luke sat in a glass tower overlooking Midtown, VP of Corporate Development at Miramaxion Global, a name that sounded like a pharmaceutical company had slept with a tech startup. In reality, they built strategic partnerships for Fortune 500 firms. Luke built those partnerships. He'd started at 26. Now, at 39, he was the youngest VP in the company's history. He also knew how to disappear, not physically. Luke was 6'2", broad-shouldered, and carried the kind of jawline that made HR nervous. But emotionally, Luke had long ago mastered the art of self-containment. He never drank at parties, never dated co-workers, and he never, ever put anything in writing until now. He first saw the envelope on his desk that morning. No sender, no postage, just a single sheet of folded paper that read, Your discretion has been noticed. Are you ready for something more? Below it, a time and an address. No name, just an invitation. At first, Luke thought it was a prank, or worse, some new kind of startup leadership training. But something about the paper, the font, the tone, it felt personal. And Luke Everett was bored. That night, when he arrived at the hotel suite, he was met by a butler in white gloves. Mr. Everett, the man said with a nod, you're expected. The room was already lit. One table, two chairs, a bottle of wine breathing quietly in the center, and Sienna. He didn't ask what this was. He just sat down. She told him she wasn't interested in dating, that what she wanted was discretion, that the NDA would protect both of them. It wasn't about love or control. It was about intimacy without intrusion. That's how she'd phrased it, like a product. And Luke, normally the most cautious man in the room, signed without reading the fine print. 3 days later, the first time they slept together, she blindfolded him, not with a scarf or some flirtatious silk. It was a blackout mask, like the kind pilots use for long-haul flights. She told him it would heighten his sense of trust. That trust was what made this arrangement different. Luke went along with it. But when he woke up, she was gone. In her place was a note, one line. "I'll call you when I'm ready again. Do not reach out." Attached was a hotel key card. Different hotel, different night. Luke felt the thrill of it. He hadn't realized how bored he'd become, how predictable his days were. Boardrooms, spreadsheets, passive-aggressive smiles. This was different, erotic, dangerous. And still, there was something about the way she watched him. As if she were memorizing him, not just his body, his decisions. 2 weeks in, by now, the meetings had become routine. Always a new hotel, always a new room. She never texted, always called from blocked numbers. Every time she checked his phone at the door and placed it in a small silver lockbox. "You don't trust me?" he once asked. "I trust you," she said softly. "I don't trust what can be hacked." Her words always had weight, like they'd been tested in fire before being spoken aloud. Once, during their fourth meeting, she asked him, "Do you ever worry someone's watching you?" He laughed. "I don't think I'm that interesting." She stared back. "That's what makes you dangerous. You don't think you're interesting. But people in power, they always are." Then came the slip. At a quarterly shareholders gala, Luke stood near the bar, nursing a bourbon. The kind of event where everyone wore tuxedos and masks, pretending they weren't trying to destroy each other in quarterly earnings. That's when he saw her. Sienna. She wasn't in a dark corner this time. She was front and center, laughing with the crowd, one hand resting casually on the arm of Richard Holden, CEO of Miramaxion Global, Luke's boss, her husband. The room spun, not dramatically, just enough to make him grip the edge of the table. She looked over and smiled. Not a nervous smile. Not a you-caught-me smile. It was the smile of someone who had planned this moment all along. Back at his apartment, Luke tore apart his drawers, looking for the NDA, the contract, anything that could explain what had just happened. It was gone. He searched his phone. Nothing. All calls had come from blocked numbers. All texts had been deleted. Had he imagined it? Was he being tested? Set up? His heart raced, not from fear, but from betrayal. He had broken every rule he'd ever set for himself. And now, the pieces were falling into place too perfectly. A message pinged his phone. Anonymous number, no name, just a sentence. "We told you not to talk." Then a photo. Him, shirtless, in bed, asleep. She was beside him, fully clothed, staring into the camera with dead eyes. The email vanished seconds after he opened it. Not just from his inbox, from his memory. Luke had read the message twice, heart hammering, before it disappeared. No trace, no thread, no subject line to forward. Just a single sentence burned into his brain. "Consider this your final warning." He stared at the screen, jaw clenched, breath shallow. They were watching him, monitoring every step, not just in the bedroom, at the office, at home, probably for months. He hadn't been seduced. He'd been baited. Monday morning, corporate headquarters. The elevator ride to the 38th floor felt longer than usual. Luke stared at his own reflection in the chrome walls. Tie perfectly knotted, hair trimmed, posture straight. But behind the eyes, he could see it. The panic. He'd built his career on control. Control of numbers. Control of deals. Control of himself. Now he was spiraling, and no one could know. As the elevator doors opened, he found himself face to face with Richard Halden, the CEO, Sienna's husband, tall, imposing, the kind of man who never raised his voice because he never had to. His presence alone created silence. "Luke," Halden said, offering a firm nod. "Big week. We'll need your team firing on all cylinders." Luke nodded. "Of course, already ahead of it." They walked side by side down the hall. "You know," Halden said casually, "when you've been in the game long enough, you learn something important." "What's that?" "Every man has a pressure point. Some crack under money, some under fame, and some," he paused, "under love." He clapped Luke on the back, then walked off. Luke stood frozen in the corridor, that single word, love, echoing like a warning shot. The surveillance. Luke stopped using his personal phone, switched to burner phones bought in cash, stopped taking elevators, walked 6 blocks to get coffee he didn't need. He started noticing patterns, a man reading the same newspaper on the corner each morning, a black sedan always parked outside his building, no driver ever visible. Every third email he sent from Worse bounced or was delayed. They weren't just watching him. They were managing him. Confronting Sienna, he used the key card from their last meeting. Same hotel, different floor, a suite with a view of the river. She was already inside when he entered, dressed in white this time, casual, barefoot. "You shouldn't be here," she said softly. "I never signed up for this." "Yes, you did." He held up his phone. "They're watching me, every second." "What did you give them?" Sienna didn't flinch. "I gave them what they wanted." "Which was?" "To see if you'd break, if you'd go weak, if you'd beg." Luke stepped closer. "Why me?" She tilted her head. "Because you don't know who you are until someone takes everything from you." He stared at her, breathing hard. "Are you even married to Halden?" Her eyes flicked. "Yes." "Does he know where?" "He knows everything." Silence. Luke sat down. "So what happens now?" Sienna poured 2 glasses of wine. "Now you decide, stay in the game, or get swallowed by it." The folder. When Luke returned to his office that evening, there was a manila folder waiting on his desk. No label, no postmark. Inside, photos, dozens of them, him and Sienna, entering hotels, laughing, holding hands, in bed, dates, timestamps, angles. It was surveillance-grade material. Someone had invested real money into watching them, also inside the folder, a printed copy of his employment contract. Key lines highlighted, and at the very bottom, a single post-it note. "You are replaceable. Behind closed doors. At the next executive meeting, Halden walked in late." Everyone stood. Luke avoided his eyes. "Let's begin," Halden said. "Before we discuss M&A updates, I want to thank Luke Everett for his leadership in the SolveTech acquisition. Brilliant work under pressure." The room applauded. Luke felt bile rise in his throat. Was this praise or warning? Dinner with the CFO. That night, Luke had drinks with Gillian West, the company's chief financial officer. Mid-40s, sharp eyes, sharper instincts. She was the only exec who didn't seem terrified of Halden. She ordered bourbon neat. "You You look like a man who just stepped out of a hostage negotiation. Luke smirked. Rough week. Jillian leaned in. Let me ask you something. Have you noticed how people disappear around here? Not fired, not escorted out, just gone. Luke blinked. You mean? Last year, head of legal vanished. Week later, PR director quit during her honeymoon. And now I'm hearing whispers about you. He held his glass tighter. What kind of whispers? She shrugged. Just stay sharp. There are moments when time doesn't slow down. It stops. One of those moments came for Luke Everett in the boardroom at exactly 10:42 a.m. He had just finished presenting Q3 projections to the executive committee. Charts, numbers, safe ground. But as he clicked through the final slide, he saw Halden watching him, not like a CEO studying his VP, but like a warden examining a prisoner. Then Halden stood, closed his laptop, cleared his throat. Before we adjourn, one more item. Luke turned. Everyone else straightened in their chairs. Halden walked to the window, hands behind his back. There are rumors, he said calmly, about leaks. Internal files. Personal information being passed to competitors. We are launching a full audit of communication protocols, company-wide. Luke froze. Halden turned his head slightly. If you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. The words weren't directed at the room. They were directed at him. The blackout email that night, Luke received another encrypted message. The same strange format. A scrambled subject line. The body contained only one line. Meet me at level 2, midnight. No signature, no explanation. He almost deleted it. But something about the level, minus 2, caught his eye. That sub-basement hadn't been used in years. It was a restricted floor from the building's pre-merger era. Now sealed off, forgotten. But someone knew it still existed. The underground room. At exactly midnight, Luke swiped an old elevator keycard, his first VP badge, and descended past the parking levels. The doors opened onto an unlit hallway that smelled like stale air and legal secrets. A single light flickered above the door at the end. Inside sat Jillian West, CFO, a flask in one hand, a folder in the other. She looked up, unfazed. I figured you'd come, she said. Take a seat. Luke sat. I know what they're doing to you, Jillian said, because they tried it with me 4 years ago. Luke blinked. Wait, Halden? She nodded. Same woman, different script. Sienna. She called herself Elise back then. Played me a little differently. But the structure was the same. Temptation, contract, entrapment. When I pushed back, they doctored my emails. Made it look like I'd falsified reports. Luke felt his pulse in his neck. Why are you telling me this now? Jillian took a long sip. Because I'm tired of watching talented people get devoured for sport. The setup, Jillian slid the folder across the table. Inside, printouts of security logs, metadata timestamps, and encrypted financial transfers between shell accounts. All traced back to the same hidden office on the 41st floor. Luke scanned the documents. What am I looking at? Proof, she said, that Halden's been using company assets to run a blackmail network. They call it a soft exit program. Seduce a liability, then give them a choice. Walk quietly, or be ruined. Luke leaned back in his chair. And the NDA? Unenforceable, she said. But it doesn't matter. Once your reputation's shredded, no one cares what the law says. A choice, Jillian stood. You want out, Luke? You've got three options. He raised an eyebrow. One, disappear. Resign. Take a settlement. They'll pay you off to keep you quiet. 2. Fight back. Leak the evidence. But it'll cost you everything. Your name, your privacy, maybe your safety. And 3. Option 3. She hesitated. You stay. You play their game. And you find a way to win. Luke stood slowly. What did you choose? Jillian's eyes turned cold. I'm still here, aren't I? Halden's wife or his weapon? Later that night, Luke received a call from a number he didn't recognize. Sienna's voice came through, low and calm. You shouldn't have gone to Jillian. Luke's stomach turned. How do you know where I've been? He asked. Luke, she whispered. You still don't get it. There are no secrets here, only layers. He clenched his jaw. Why me? Because you're loyal, she said. Because you don't cheat the system, which makes you the perfect test subject. He laughed bitterly. So this was all an experiment? She didn't answer. Is Halden even your real husband? Silence. Then she spoke, quieter than ever. I made my own choices, just like you. The line went dead. Something breaks the next morning. Luke woke up to find his work laptop wiped, email access denied, building credentials revoked. Ait said it was a routine system security update. But Luke knew better. He was being erased. But he wasn't out yet. He made one call, then another. Found an old contact in digital forensics. Paid cash. No names. If I give you a hard drive, he asked, can you prove someone used it to upload surveillance footage to an offshore server? Depends, the man said. Who's the someone? Luke looked him dead in the eye. The CEO. The first thing to go was his bank account. Luke checked it out of habit while waiting for coffee. 3 accounts, business, checking, and savings. Read, account restricted. Please contact branch. He called, waited on hold, got transferred 3 times. Then the voice on the line said, we've flagged unusual transactions pending internal review. Please be advised not to attempt any withdrawals until we complete our investigation. He hung up before they finished the sentence. They weren't just watching him anymore. They were shutting him down. The lockout. When Luke arrived at the building the next morning, his badge didn't work. Not the turnstiles, not the elevator, not even the garage. The security guard smiled awkwardly. Corporate flagged you. They said to have someone from HR escort you if you come in. Escort me? Luke asked. Policy, the man said without meeting his eyes. Luke walked away. Back on the street, he didn't call anyone. He just stood still for a long time, letting the noise of Manhattan buzz around him. He had no access, no money, no allies on the inside. Unless Jillian's warning. She met him in an underground jazz bar on 6th Avenue. Dark, loud, safe. They froze me, Luke said. Jillian sipped her drink. You're radioactive now. Is this how it ends? She looked at him with tired eyes. No. It ends when they've humiliated you. Quietly. Enough that no one will question it. Luke clenched his fist. Then I want to go loud. You don't even have proof yet. I will. Jillian hesitated, then reached into her purse. This is a backup drive. Every blackmail file I ever found. I kept it for insurance. Luke's eyes widened. You said you destroyed all of it. I lied, she said. We all do. The trap Luke returned to. His apartment to find the door slightly ajar. Not kicked in, not forced. Just open. Inside, nothing was stolen. But everything was touched. Drawers moved, files misaligned, his toiletries rearranged. It wasn't a robbery. It was a message. On the kitchen counter, someone had left a lighter. Gold, engraved with the initials S.H. Sienna Halden. He picked it up, heart pounding, flicked it open. Inside was a micro SD card, barely the size of a fingernail. No label, no hint. Just a sliver of evidence from the woman who'd set him up. The footage. Luke drove upstate to a former client's cabin. No cameras, no Wi-Fi. Just a wood-burning stove and a solar charger. He plugged the SD card into his backup laptop. At first, static, then footage. Hotel room angles, audio. Conversations between Sienna and Halden. Arguments, strategy sessions. One frame showed Luke sleeping, while Halden and Sienna whispered over his unconscious body. "He's perfect," Halden said. "You're pushing him too fast," Sienna replied. "Exactly. Let's see how he handles pressure." Luke watched in horror as Halden slid an NDA across the table. He won't read it. None of them ever do. The decision, Luke copied everything. 3 drives. 1 for Jillian, 1 hidden in the cabin's floorboards, 1 he'd mail to the press, if it came to that. But even as he backed up the files, he couldn't stop shaking. This wasn't just about his career anymore. This was about control. Who owned the narrative? Who got to rewrite the truth? And if he didn't act soon, they'd rewrite his story into something dark and irreversible. The setup, he booked a meeting with Halden, used a burner phone, posed as a recruiter from an elite investment firm, told him the name of a real firm Halden respected, one that happened to have offices on the 44th floor of a midtown tower. "Bring your own legal," Luke said in a disguised voice. "It's a high-stakes deal." Halden agreed. Luke watched from across the street as the CEO arrived alone. No lawyers. No bodyguards. Perfect. The confrontation, Halden entered the office suite. Empty. Just 1 chair. 1 table. 1 envelope on the desk. Inside the envelope, a still frame from the footage. Him and Sienna in the hotel room. His voice, caught on audio, talking about the setup. About Luke. On the